Grace to you, dear friends, and peace from God our Father and from Him who is risen, Jesus our Lord and our Savior, through whom we have salvation. Amen. I'd like to share with you this morning some words that most people don't look up in the Bible too often, and yet they have some tremendous application for us. St. Paul is looking at this new congregation of converts to the faith, and they're very immature in their faith, and he says to them this: from now on, those who have wives should live as if they had none. Those who mourn as if they did not. Those who are happy as if they were not. And those who buy something as if it were not theirs to keep. Those who use the things of this world as if it were not engrossed in them. For this world in its present form is passing away. Thus far our text. Dear friends in Christ, a former police officer tells the story of a gang of thieves, a group of thieves, and their tactics, the way they operated, their modus operandi. The way that they worked is that they would enter into a store in a group. And then once they were in that store, the group would split into two teams. One team would go off to the far end of the store, and they would suddenly create all kinds of commotion, drawing all kinds of attention to them. So all eyes and all ears were on them. Meanwhile, at the other end of the store was the other team. And what they would do is fill up their bags with all kinds of merchandise and cash if they would get it, and quietly sneak out of that store. And often it was hours, and sometimes even days, before the store realized that they had been robbed. Friends of Christ, the power of a distraction. The power of a distraction. Indeed, how often has the devil used this tactic in our own lives, in our own world, in our own nation, and yes, even in our own church and in the churches? The power of a distraction. He comes into our lives and he makes all kinds of commotion, and he distracts us from that which is most important. He distracts us from God. He distracts us from our Heavenly Father. And draws us away. And while he's distracted us, he ransacks our souls, leaving us a bit empty, spiritually dead, wondering, what happened? Where is truth? You see, that's what's behind St. Paul's words today. And they're odd words. Nobody reads this section of the Bible. Rarely do they read this section of the Bible. They're odd words. What in the world is he talking about? As he speaks to this young congregation of immature believers who have come out of a pagan culture, he says to them some odd things. He says this: from now on, those of you who have wives should live as if they don't have any. Kind of odd. From now on, those of you who mourn should live as if you do not mourn. And those of you who rejoice, as if you're not rejoicing. From now on, those of you who are buying and selling as if you have no need for goods. And those of you who have dealings in the world, and there's many of those, as if you have no dealings. Odd words. Strange words. It almost sounds as if St. Paul is calling on us to neglect the important matters of life, to neglect our marriages and our families, to neglect our business dealings, our finances, our family relationships. It almost sounds as if he's calling on us to neglect all these important matters of life. St. Paul, what in the world are you talking about? Well, friends of Christ, is Paul really doing that? Is he calling on us to neglect the very duties that God has placed before us? Well, rhetorical question. No. He's not really doing that. For he, being the blessed apostle of the Lord, taught by Jesus himself, he knows. He knows the will of God. He knows the word of God. And he absolutely knows how important our marriages are and our families are, and how they indeed not only bring us joy in life, but how they are the very fabric of society. He knows how important they are. And that we should pay attention to them. And yes, indeed, he knows how important those family relationships are. That we should indeed take the time to mourn when that time comes. And that we should take the time to rejoice in all of God's blessings. For yes, indeed, God brings us good things and gives us wonderful things. And the people of God should give thanks for all that God bestows upon us. Do we have the eyes to see our blessings? We have many of them here today in our children, our students, in people of God who have come to hear his word in a dead world. He knows we should be a rejoicing people. And he knows we should be about the business of our world, taking care of the matters of our lives and our families and our finances and all these things. Yes, indeed, he knows these things are vital. Then why does he say what he's saying? Well, He issues a warning. He warns these Corinthian Christians, these young believers, with one foot in the world. He warns them not to allow the everyday details of life to distract them from spiritual things, to distract them from their Lord and their God, to even become their God. Don't let yourself be distracted by the matters of the world from that which is most important. Dear friends, it's the first commandment issue. Yes, indeed. Don't let yourself be distracted from God. Friends of Christ, are you distracted today? Living in this world, billions of things to do, daily planners, technology, details, so many we can hardly get. Are you distracted today, dear friends? Distracted by all the buying and selling. Distracted by all the running. By your fourth soccer game of the week. And your fifth power lunch. In the pursuit of life, have you lost it? Has your heart wandered from God because of all the carefully distractions that Satan has put in our lives? You see, that was the issue. For these new Christians, that was the issue. For these new believers, that was the issue. For this Corinthian church, that was the issue. They were a church, dear friends, of many distractions. Many distractions. Distractions that the devil used to ransack them spiritually and to turn them on one another. That's his goal, you see, to unravel the house of God. And they were following suit because they began to become very quarrelsome and contentious. The distractions were working. time to come back and put your eyes somewhere else. You see, that's what the devil does. He's the master distractor. Distracts us from all kinds of things. And yes, as we look at the Bible, as we look at this holy writing, we see that he even tried this in the life of Jesus. In fact, he did it many times. He wouldn't stop with just humans, ordinary humans. He tried it with Jesus' life. He brought into Jesus' life all kinds of temptations in order to do what? Distract him from his mission. The mission that his Father called him to perform. The salvation of the world. And so the devil brought all kinds of temptations into the life of Jesus. Don't you want to look at these? Get off course a little. Take your eyes off of what's most important. And yes, he brought all kinds of trials and challenges and tribulations into the life of Jesus. Don't you want to look at these? Forget about that mission that you have, that cross business. Yes, the devil even tried to distract our Lord Jesus. But friends, that's where Jesus is different from us. Being the sinless Son of God and Savior of the world, that's where he was different. He did not allow the distractions that the devil threw into his life to draw him away from his Father and from his mission. Isaiah, the great prophet, speaks of it. In chapter 50 of his prophecy, Isaiah says this. He says, Jesus set his face like a flint. A flint is a sharp, sharp stone that points. It was Isaiah's way of saying Jesus is never going to get distracted from his mission. He's not going to allow the devil to deter him from what he needs to do. And what did he need to do? He needed to bring about the salvation of the world. He needed to go to Jerusalem and there die, being laden with the sins of the world for the world. And he did just that. On a dark day, a Friday, they hung him on that cross. The Savior, Son of God, bled for the sinners of the world. He bled for every sin. He bled for every rebellion. My rebellion and your rebellion. He died for each and every one of them that we might have peace with God. And yes, through that holy death, the Father forgave his rebellious world and said, you're mine again. He set his face like a flint. He was not distracted from his mission. He brought redemption to us all. Today, you have peace with God. It's not of your own doing. It's a gift. And it's called grace. Today you have peace with God because of that cross. Today you have peace with God because that Savior bled for you, because he was not distracted by Satan from that mission. Today you have peace with the Almighty God of heaven and earth. What a joy. You see what Paul was doing? He was calling the Corinthians back to refocus again their lives where it needed to be. On a cross, on their salvation, on their Lord. He was calling them to focus their eyes again on where it needed to be, a holy washing with living words. He was calling them back from all the distractions to their salvation.
Reminds me, dear friends, of baseball story, of all things. Henry Aaron. You may have heard of him. Good old Henry Aaron
one day sauntered up to the base, to the home plate, bat in hand. It was during a game that his team had against the Milwaukee Braves. As he sauntered up to home plate with his bat, he was met with a rather cantankerous man behind the plate, who was the catcher, a man by the name of Yogi Berra. And Yogi, being Yogi, did Yogi's thing. He started heckling Hank Aaron. He started trying to distract him from his mission. "Hank," he said, "what are you doing? You're holding your bat wrong. The trademark is in the wrong place. Take a look. Look at what you're doing. You're going to break your bat. Don't you know how to bat?" Distractions, right? Good old Yogi. Well, Henry would have nothing to do with it. He simply ignored him, took his place at the plate, waited for the next pitch, and hit the pitch out of the park, a home run, a home run. As he rounded the bases, he came to home plate and stepped on it. And looked at Yogi and said, "Son, I didn't come here to read." Indeed. How about you? Redeemed in the Lord, bought and paid for, right with God through holy blood, filled with the Spirit, empowered with life and grace. Did you become a Christian only to read the trademarks or to hit the ball? How did Hebrews put it? "Let us throw off all entanglements and keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, the language of no distraction." Let us put our eyes again upon our Savior and His salvation, upon His cross. Let us take our eyes off our distractions and put them where they need to be again. In the name of Jesus, who did the same for our salvation. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. We invite you to arise. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds forever in Him who lives and reigns, our undistracted Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. We take a moment to sing our offertory this morning. Page 192.